welcome this morning as we continue with our recorded services. We really hope that this is helpful for you as we live through the social distancing and important protections that are in place. It is wonderful news that all these measures seem to be working as well as they are. Please remember to reach out and say hello to someone this week and keep encouraging each other at this time. My name's David Braga and it's wonderful to be able to lead in this service together. Friends, we've come together to meet with God, to express our fellowship in the Lord Jesus, and to take our part in the building of his church. We will praise and thank him for his goodness towards us, hear from his holy word, and pray for the world and for ourselves. Since we believe that Jesus, our Saviour, has ascended into heaven and opened the way into God's presence for us, let us draw near with sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast to the hope we profess and consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. I'm going to open our time together with a word of prayer. Please pray with me. God our Father, we pray that the message of your Son will dwell richly among us as we teach and admonish one another with the wisdom you give and sing with thankfulness in our hearts to you. And whatever we do, in word or deed, may it be done in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and for his glory. Amen. We come together each week because we have the same Saviour, our Lord Jesus, who died for us. Please stand and let's join together in worshipping him by singing Beautiful Saviour.
To the fountain of delight.
hear the passage and Trevor's preaching on it, it is appropriate for us to draw near to God and acknowledge that as followers of Christ, we are aware that we do not always act as we should in accordance with our relationship with Him. So it is appropriate and necessary for us to come before our Heavenly Father and confess our failings before Him. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The Bible tells us not to hide our sins from God our Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart, so that we may be forgiven through His boundless goodness and mercy. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart of full assurance and faith and pray together. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant, according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God and loving Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. Grant us true repentance and your Holy Spirit, that we may live godly, righteous and holy lives, and finally come to your eternal glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Karen will now come to read the Bible passages, and then Trevor will come up to preach.
Please join with me as I pray for us as we come to hear from God's word. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Our second reading comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 4 to 7. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church this morning. It's good to see you, but it's good to know that you're listening, and it's good to be able to be with you in spirit as we come together. This morning, we start a new little sermon series. We're thinking about what makes people tick, and today we'll be thinking about the desire to be taken seriously. Let me begin by just asking you a question, just to start with. What do you think of are people's pressing needs and wants today? Well, I gather the answers would be we'd be varied from one person to another. But in these days, living with COVID-19 and social distancing, I guess they'd say an end to it, please. More freedom to get out and about. And it has been really good this weekend to be able to catch up with at least a couple of family and friends at this time. Others might say a return to job security and economic stability. To be able to touch and hug a loved one, to cuddle our grandchildren, to tell an elderly mother or father that we love them face to face, and not through the barrier of a glass window and masks or just over the phone. Maybe for someone else it might be to not be afraid to get sick and die. To others, to be able to speak out and say what they feel about this whole situation. Others, it might be, look, I just can't wait for my kids to go back to school. For life to get back to the way it was before. Think for a moment, what's your pressing need and want right now? It may have nothing to do with the situation that we find ourselves in with COVID-19. There may be some other situation that brings another need, another want to the fore. Think about it. I'm no psychologist or social researcher, and I'm not an expert on human behaviour, nor have I written any books on the topic. But in preparation for this sermon series, I've been reading a couple of books of my library of two people who have. Hugh Mackay, you may know of him and read some of his books, and Dr. Larry Crabb. I'll be up front and say that these two persons have played their part in shaping of my thinking and understanding of my behaviour, let alone the behaviour of people. Mackay, because he specialises in understanding Australians and our culture, and he's an Aussie himself, and I minister in an ever diverse and changing Australian culture. And Crabb, well, because his thinking is very similar to Mackay regarding human behaviour in general, but he frames his thinking and understanding deeper from a biblical perspective. Crabb argues that two pressing needs and wants of people that underlie all our needs and wants are how we deal with them are the need for significance and the need for security. The need to know that one matters and the need to know that one is safe. Crabb would argue that all our actions, good and bad, somehow originate from these two needs needing to be met. Mackay isn't so narrow limiting it to just two. But in his book, What Makes Us Tick, published by Hatchet Australia, he would suggest that these two can be bundled into 10 desires that drive us, in no particular order: the desire for love, the desire for something to happen, the desire for control, the desire for more, the desire to belong, the desire to be useful, the desire to connect, the desire for something to believe in, and the desire for my place, and the desire to be taken seriously. Over the next 6 weeks, Lord willing, I won't consider all 10, but just 6, starting with the desire to be taken seriously. How I'll go about giving the sermons will be a little different to normal, but to first raise the issue, to give some illustrations, and to allow us to see it apply to ourselves and bring a passage of scripture or two to bear and consider the issue through the eyes of God. The reason being, for the Christian, all these needs should be filtered and vetted and managed in the light of knowing ourselves from God's perspective. For each of these desires are about how we choose to live. And we, as Christians, choose to live life God's way as revealed in his word, the Bible. I can tell you right now, they will not be exhaustive sermons, as if by some miracle I could cover everything that needs to be known about it. Put that at rest right now. But to get the most out of these sermons, I recommend taking time out to do the Bible study that accompanies these talks with others. It may be difficult to do that with others, of course, in this isolation at this moment, but I have invited you to be able to join us by Zoom or to join me or others by Zoom. And if you need some help to know how to do that, please get in contact with me. You could do it on your own, but you need to allow yourself to be honest with yourself if you do. But I think what you do discover, you will want to share with someone else. And if you do, go for it. Give someone a call and tell them what you've got out of the Bible study. Listening and sharing with others helps us to see we are not alone. We're not weird. And as Christians, together we can draw on God's word to meet these needs. We all have these needs. And we can draw on God's word to guide how we choose to live with them. James 1 verse 19 says, everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. And we also need to remember that we're not alone, only ones who need these needs met, but others do too. And we have a part to play with God in helping meet the needs of others. God cares for people through his people. Philippians 2 verses 1 to 5 come to mind. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Philippians 2, verses 1 to 5. Well, today, let's consider the desire to be taken seriously. Illustrations could be endless here, but just one to start with. The volunteer fighter of 40 years, awkwardly disappointed and a little bitter because people forgot to hold a thank you gathering for him when he finished. But to give ourselves our own illustrations from our own life experience, I want to get you just to think about these three questions. Think about the last time you got disappointed, frustrated, or even angry with someone. Why were you angry? Why were you frustrated? Why were you disappointed? It might have arisen out of a just cause, and you may have had every right to express how you felt. Maybe not. But if we're honest with ourselves, our disappointment, our frustration, our anger arises from a deep need for what we think, believe, and want said or done to be done. We want to be taken seriously. And if it's dismissed, ignored, or laughed at, we take it personally and we react. Because we have a need, we have a want to be taken seriously. Now, we are no different being Christians. But we have a wonderful privilege because we are. Because we choose to live our lives in a relationship with God, whom we have come to know is the most important person in the universe. It's God. And the cross reminds us that we are very significant to God. And we are very secure in relationship with God. I call it an anchorage. If there's such a word as that, I'm not sure. But an anchorage, something to stay anchored to and move out from to find our answers to our pressing needs and wants. It's knowing what God thinks about us as our primary need being met. You see, people will let us down. They may not all the time, but people will let us down. And if we're looking for our needs being met in others, or even in ourselves, we're going to be constantly disappointed. Remember the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Colossians. He reminds us there, Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him. For him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. We see ourselves, we see others through the eyes of God, as God now sees them. And God's Spirit witnesses and helps us to do just that. He does that with his word. So look at the two passages that was read out to us this morning by Karen. One from Ephesians and one from Luke. I'm going to read to you them both again. And as I read them to you, what do you read? What do you hear God reassuring you that you matter to him? And it's God actually saying this to you. Let me read them out to you. I'm going to emphasize a few of the words there along the way as I do, just to stress what God has done. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and to be blameless in his sight. In his love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship and daughtership through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. What did you hear being said about you from God's perspective? I heard a number of things, and you may have heard a few more. Isn't it wonderful to know that before even the creation of the universe, God knew you? God had a plan for you, and God had a plan for you to be holy and blameless and experience his love in all its fullness in relationship with him. When he was planning the universe, he had you in mind. You matter to God. And now he's also secured that for eternity. When God makes a promise, he doesn't fall back on his promises, like our friends or our family or our brothers and sisters in Christ even. God always keeps his promises. You matter to God very much. And you are secure in your relationship with God because God has done it. Look here now at the second of the readings. Jesus tells us, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. those who have opinions about you, and I'm just paraphrasing a little bit here, those who have opinions about you, those whom you look up to, those whom you would long to have your needs met from them, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Respect, fear him who after your body has been killed has authority to throw you into hell. He's talking about God. Yes, I tell you, respect him, love him, know him. Find your worth in him, not in others. And then he has this wonderful little paraphrase here. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I know I'm losing just a few and maybe you're losing a lot or whatever, but it's wonderful to know, isn't it? You are not forgotten by God. And I love the another little expression that follows on here. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of what they of their opinion. You are worth much, much more than many sparrows. God takes you very seriously. You matter to him. And chiefly we see that in the cross, don't we? We see that in God himself being willing to go to hell to be separated for you, so that you and I and all those who put their trust in Jesus can know the friendship that comes from being right with him. God, the one of the universe, the most important one, became one of us and died for you, died for me. You matter to God. And what he achieved was your forgiveness. What he achieved was your relationship now with him forever, that nothing will ever separate us from your from his love for us. And we are secure in that. People will let us down, but God will never let us down. We see that in the cross. But here's the application now. Again, this is good information for us and it hits to our heart and it's our anchorage. But in our relationship with others, it helps us to be like Christ in our dealings with others. His Spirit helps us. When we come across those whom we struggle with and find it difficult, who are not making us feel like we matter, everything may well be crying out within us, revenge, revenge, get back. And the world would tell us that's the way, win. But the Christian lives differently. We live like Christ. We live as God has guided us in his word. And we say, I am deeply loved by Jesus. I am deeply loved by God. That's what matters. God, grant me the grace to love this one, to do what is best for this other, that they may know how good you are and live life in all its fullness and blessing. And we can only really do that if we have a firm anchorage in knowing that we matter to God and he deeply, deeply takes us seriously. I don't think I'll look at a sparrow differently, the same ever again, you know. And I have a little sparrow on my table that I have breakfast coffee sometimes outside at the front. It reminds me that I matter very much to God. He does not forget me, and he doesn't forget you, not because you see a sparrow, but because he's promised you in his word. And again, the cross reminds us of that. Consider Christ. So friends, we do have this deep desire to be taken seriously. It's a struggle that we all have, whether we are Christians or not. But the Christian has a wonderful privilege of knowing that we can still love and deal rightly and like Jesus with the other and with ourselves, because God takes us seriously. And we see that in the Christ, in the cross. So consider Christ. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be considerate of each other and aware of others' needs as well as our own. Help us to feel safe and confident, to be self-aware. Give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the willingness to put it into practice. May knowing you and being known by you be of great comfort, of great reassurance to us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Trevor. It's time to sing again. A wonderful song to call us to Christ alone. So let's stand and sing In Christ Alone. Christian believers, we've used statements of faith for hundreds of years to give ourselves a common understanding and a shared bond of unity. Let's keep doing this together now with the words of the Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Rosemary is now going to come and lead us in a time of prayer together. Thank you, Rosemary.
We read in Psalm 145, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him." The Lord be with you and also with you. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, you alone can order the unruly wills and passions of sinful people. Grant to your people that they may love what you command and desire what you promise, that so among the many and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be lived, where true joys are to be found, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Sovereign Lord, you are the hope and healer of your people, and promised a world where there is no more sickness or crying or death. By your death and resurrection, you have set your people free from the penalty of sin and death. We pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Please prosper the work of those who are seeking a vaccine for the coronavirus. And we particularly pray today for the staff and residents of Anglican Newmarch House. Please give the governing authorities and staff wisdom in the management of this crisis. We pray for your protection over Jean Steele and for all staff and residents not yet affected by the virus. Give patience and understanding to their families, ease their fears and comfort those who are grieving the death of loved ones. Please strengthen those who are treating the sick and comfort those who are living in fear of this disease. Give to all people peace beyond understanding, generous and wise hearts, and renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety, that they may find that peace which only you can give. And we ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will continue to help us to be careful and wise in taking whatever precautions are necessary to limit and contain the spread of this virus, despite the easing of some restrictions. Strengthen us to remain calm, seeking the welfare of others above ourselves, and draw especially close to those who are alone or troubled at this difficult time. Calm their troubled hearts and move their friends, family, and acquaintances to call them up to encourage and support them. We pray as a congregation that we will still care for one another and prioritise the need to encourage one another as we remain restricted in our ability to gather together physically. We pray especially for Lynn Clark as she continues to recover in hospital. Give to her the strength and resources she needs to recover well, and help Graham as he cares for her. Thank you for the resources we have to stay connected to our brothers and sisters in Christ and for the encouragement of listening to the services online. Help us to use this time to be fed by your word and to draw close to you, knowing that you love us and that we are special to you. Heavenly Father, we pray for Shine and Jessica Thomas here on home assignment. We pray for Shine's dad, who has had a major health setback, but we are thankful, as they are, that he is recovering. We pray for the plans to return to Thailand in August, that preparations will go smoothly and that, depending on borders opening and the planes flying, that this will go ahead in your will. We give thanks for reliable technology and the opportunity to continue to virtually meet with other staff as they continue to provide pastoral care from a distance. We pray that you will help the staff to be diligent and thankful and be with Jessica and Shine as they rely on your strength to continue your work of bringing glory to your name during these challenging times. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing power and work in our lives. Thank you for your goodness and for your blessings over us. Thank you that you are able to bring hope through even the toughest of times, strengthening us for all your purposes. Thank you for your great love and care. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you that we are special to you and that you are always with us and will never leave us. Thank you for your incredible sacrifice so that we might have freedom and life. Forgive us for when we don't thank you enough, for who you are, for all that you do, for all that you've given. Help us to set our eyes and our hearts on you afresh. Renew our spirits and fill us with your peace and joy. We love you and we need you this day and every day. We give you praise and thanks, for you alone are worthy. And so together we say, be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care and guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and your truth that we may tell of your saving works. And hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. Amen.
We come to that time in the service. Again, thank you for joining us today, and God bless you. We'll be in touch. I'm keeping in touch during the week, and it's good that we are. We are well into keeping ourselves and others safe due to COVID-19. Some of us, however, may be feeling the effects of isolation, boredom, loneliness, and frustration. With a small relaxation in the numbers that can visit others, can I encourage you to take this opportunity to arrange to visit another person in the parish, to keep socially distancing still, but over the coming weeks to arrange time to meet with others just through the door. And in fact, don't be surprised if I give you a call and ask if I can have a visit through the door. I miss you, all right? I hope you miss me as well too, but I miss you, and it'd be great to see you face to face again. And we look forward to that day when we do. Remember, God shows his care through the care of his people. Our parish council will be meeting by Zoom today on Sunday at 11 a.m, so you may like to be in prayer for them as they meet. This evening, on Sunday evening, there's a Bible study by Zoom on these on this sermon series and the Bible readings and passages that we looked at today and the topic. If you would like to join into that, please give me a call today, give me a call so that I can send you the email so that you can link into that this afternoon from 5 through to 6. Likewise, tomorrow night on Monday evening, if you want to join with me in prayer from 7 o'clock to 7:30, you can do the same as well. Give me a call, I can send you the email. Thank you again for listening into Church of a Sunday. Thank you for encouraging others to listen in and hear the service as well and be encouraged. I've heard a couple of people that are doing that as well. And thank you for keeping in contact with one another. God bless you.
We're going to finish now with our final song, so please stand and let's sing Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me.
Thank you. Stand with joy before the throne.
pray for us as we finish our service together. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this week in love to one another and to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Please, I hope everyone have a wonderful week and find someone now to call and say hello to. Have a great week.